I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Our guest this hour travels everywhere. He hasn't been to every country on Earth, but he's working on it. And he will help inspire us to explore the world and to come up with some new places to put on our travel lists. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January 3rd. And it is so cold out today and will be even colder on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Many of us are probably thinking of escaping 50-degree below zero wind chills and traveling to someplace warmer. I know I just canceled my mini vacation in Minocqua, Wisconsin that I had scheduled for next week because my husband and I don't really think we want to be outside enjoying winter sports when we have dangerous wind chills going on. We won't be able to do that with such dangerous temperatures. So I'm looking forward, though, to the trip that we have planned in March for Belize. Where are you traveling this year? Do you have a dream trip that is on your travel list? Have you been on a trip that you would like to brag about or recommend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Gary Arndt. He is a travel writer, travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate you getting up extra early. You're in Las Vegas this morning.
Yeah, but I'm jet-lagged, so it's really not that bad.
All right, though, I'm glad you're jet-lagged because you spent New Year's Eve in Sydney, Australia. That must have been quite the experience. Tell us about that.
Oh, it is. If you've never been to Sydney for their New Year's Eve fireworks display, it's one of the largest in the world, and they basically set off an enormous number of fireworks in the harbor area, and especially right on the bridge. And it's just an amazing thing to see people line up for almost 24 hours beforehand to get a good seat.
That sounds amazing. And the photo that I saw posted on your Facebook page was amazing as well. But then, after you celebrated in Sydney, Australia, you hop on a plane, you're in 2014 in Sydney, Australia, and then you cross the international date line. How strange is that?
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually went back to 2013 for a couple hours. Went back into 2014 again.
That is just something. I mean, how does that feel?
Like, it was fine. Actually, everyone was pretty much asleep on the plane when that moment happened. But yeah, we crossed the date line, and just given the quirk, if you do it on that day, you get to experience a year twice.
That is something. So you are now back in the States. Are you going to just try your luck in Las Vegas for a while, or is that just your stopover?
No, I'm here for a conference.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and by the way, congratulations. I meant to say that you were named the 2014 Photographer of the Year by the Society of American Travel Writers. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a number of photographs that you just compiled, and I did put a compilation of all your photos on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are these all the photographs that you took of all the places you visited this year?
I just published sort of a year-end photo essay where I just took some of the best ones and for everyone to enjoy. I don't even want to count how many photos I've taken this year, well into the tens of thousands.
What's interesting, too, is that you're not a trained photographer. You're self-taught.
Yeah. When I began traveling back in 2007, I bought a camera that was way over my head that I didn't know how to use. And over the years, I've sort of just taught myself photography and took a lot of bad photos and got where I am today.
Beautiful photos. You can check those out. You tell us where you have been this year. This is just mind-boggling in terms of how many countries, how many places have you been?
Well, I set foot in at least 44 different countries and territories this year. This has been my busiest year. And that number is inflated by the fact that this summer I did a big trip through the Lesser Antilles in the Caribbean. So I visited every little island country that's found in the Caribbean. Spent a lot of time in Central America this year. Spent some time in the Balkans this year. Africa, Australia, Middle East. So, yeah, I've been very busy.
You know, you have been with us a few times before, but for listeners who haven't caught you, why are you traveling all over the world like this?
You know, back in 2000, actually, I guess it was late 2005, I had the idea that I wanted to travel around the world for a year or two. So in 2007, I sold my house, packed all my things up, and sort of set out with no real plan other than to go west. And I thought I would travel for a year or two, and it has kind of turned into seven. My website's become very popular. I've developed quite a following online, and it's allowed me to basically do this as a business, where my website sort of keeps me functioning, and I can make a living as a travel writer and a travel photographer.
And you should note that the home that you sold, if I'm not mistaken, was in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Actually, it was in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But I grew up in Appleton, and I consider myself definitely a Wisconsin guy.
And you will be coming back to Wisconsin sometime this summer for a visit?
Yeah, actually, this year I did a week-long trip around Wisconsin just because I felt that, you know, I explore the whole world. I really feel that I should explore the state where I'm from. So I did a trip where I went from Appleton to Green Bay to Milwaukee to Madison to La Crosse, drove all the way up to Cable, and then back down. And so I got to see parts of the state that I'd never been to before and some that I haven't been to for quite a while.
Good for you. That's great. Because I know we've talked about in the past how fun it is to travel to exotic places, but sometimes you can travel and find wonderful things right in your own backyard.
You know, something I've noticed that everyone in the world does is that they tend to forget the places that are next door because they feel they can always go there, and so they never do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know if you heard that I did cancel my trip to Managua. We took a next week off, and we do that often after the holidays, and we try to – sometimes we often go to a warm location, but this year we thought we'll just do a staycation because we have a warm vacation set up for March to go to a yoga retreat in Belize. We thought that was one was enough. And so we thought we'll just stay in Wisconsin this first week of January. That'll be fun. We'll cross-country ski. We'll, you know, snowshoe. We'll explore the Northwoods around the Minocqua area. See the white deer. I was looking forward to seeing the albino deer herd that's up there. But we're not going to go now because if you've caught the weather, we're going to have like 50 below zero temperatures. So
very good timing for the Packer game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll see. They're still, they got an extension on whether or not they can sell that out. I don't think they sold out the Packer game yet. We'll keep you posted on that. But in any case, I'm looking forward to maybe doing some more indoor warm things next week in Wisconsin. But where are you headed next?
From here, I briefly go to Los Angeles. Then New York, and then I'll be spending 5 months in Africa.
That's a long time.
Yeah. One of my goals this year is to slow down a little bit, so I'll be going to South Africa. I'll probably just be renting a short-term apartment for a bit, exploring some of the region, visiting places like Zambia, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Swaziland. And then in March, I hop on a boat, a mail boat, and I take a trip to the island of St. Helena, which if your listeners probably ever heard of that, that was where Napoleon was exiled. It's a tiny island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And then after that, I go on a kind of a cruise. One of the companies that sponsors me is a company called G Adventures, and they have a ship that goes from the Antarctic to the Arctic every year. And every year they have to reposition the boat. And so what they do in the spring is they go from Cape Town all the way up the west coast of Africa to Morocco, visiting countries along the west coast of Africa. So we'll be visiting Namibia, Angola, Republic of Congo, Sao Tome, Benin, Ghana, Togo, Sierra Leone, Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, Gambia, Western Sahara, and the Morocco.
Gosh, that's going to be really something. One of the things you like to do, and one of the things that you've talked about on the air before was if you're able to travel to, you know, around the world or to a different country, to try to spend a little bit more time there, not just a, you know, not just a one day overnight, you know, to actually, if you can, spend a considerable amount of time and really immerse yourself in the culture. Isn't that right?
Well, and what a lot of people don't realize is the longer you stay, the cheaper it can be. You can rent a short-term apartment. You can get them on Craigslist or places like Airbnb. And the cost often for an entire month might be the night, you know, the equivalent of a couple nights in a chain hotel, depending on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah. Well, we will talk more about places we can dream about going. You can tell us where you are planning on going. What's on your travel list for 2014? Or what is the dream trip that is on your lifetime travel list? Have you been someplace recently that you'd like to tell us about? Are you dreaming of a warm place to be right now when it's so cold here in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with travel blogger Gary Arndt. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man.
We are talking about traveling in 2014 and beyond with a guy who has been just about everywhere. Gary Arndt is the travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. His website is everythingeverywhere.com, and we are talking about where he's been this year, where he's planning on going, and we will talk about some of the recommended destinations for 2014 that he participated in, the Wanderers in Residence Select Top 14 Destinations for 2014. We'll talk about some of those, but we really do hope that you will join in and talk about where you want to travel. What's your dream trip? What's on your travel list? Do you have a wonderful trip planned this year? Are you dreaming of one? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And by the way, if you go to the Facebook page, we also have posted this Wanderers and Residents list of destinations. We've posted a link to Gary's Facebook page and his website. And I think we also have some other stuff on there. His photographs. He was named Travel Photographer of the Year by the Society of American Travel Writers. So check all of that out and join in. Linda on Facebook says, I'd love to go to New Zealand. I have heard such wonderful things about it. Is New Zealand just like Australia, Gary, or don't you know?
Similar accent, but it pretty much ends there. New Zealand is much smaller, and so it has more stuff packed into a smaller area. So in the north, in the far north, you can have quite tropical climate, and as you go south, it can get much colder. They actually have skiing areas in the Southern Alps on the Southern Island.
Wow.
Fantastic place to visit. You got glaciers. You have the Franz Josef and Fox Glacier on the Southern Island. You have second only to Yellowstone National Park in terms of geothermal areas in the Rotorua area on the North Island. Great place to visit. One of the things I recommend is that if you fly to New Zealand on Air New Zealand for like $100 more, I think, you can get your choice of either the Cook Islands or Samoa or Tonga and do a layover there if you fly from Los Angeles. So it's a great idea to maybe add one of those destinations if you have the time, without adding a whole lot of money to your trip.
That's great. Great advice. How much time does it take to fly there or to fly to Australia? Doesn't it take like a couple of days or something?
My flights to Australia, I flew once Dallas to Sydney, and that was about a 16-hour flight. I believe that's now the longest flight in the world. And my most recent flight I did was Vancouver to Sydney. It was 16 hours, a little, well, 15-some hours. Vancouver to Sydney in about 14 hours on the way back. Flying from Australia to the U.S. is usually an hour or two shorter just because of the winds.
Wow. Yeah, that's I actually thought it was longer than that, but that's plenty long.
You know, what I've done in the past is if you that long of a flight scares you, is to stop off either Hawaii or Fiji.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can shave about 4 or 5 hours off your trip then.
One of our producers here at Wisconsin Public Radio, who's done a lot of producing for the Joy Cardine Show recently, Marika Saval just flew to South Africa, and that's a pretty long one too. But that's where you're headed next, right? Is South Africa?
Yep.
And that is on your list. Your Wanderers and Residents Select Top 14 Destinations for 2014. Did you put that one on the list?
I did. I'd been to South Africa previously and flew through it this year on the way to Namibia. But, you know, it's a very big country, probably one of the most accessible countries in Africa to visit, you know, reasonably well-developed, very good tourism infrastructure, and a great opportunity to go on safari and to see a lot of the big animals that people come to Africa to see.
So who are the Wanderers?
G Adventures, they're the world's largest adventure travel company. They have a group of people like myself. It's myself and several other travel bloggers who basically wander the globe, and we're sort of ambassadors for the company, and we often do projects like this where we kind of give advice on where to travel.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this list, and there's some really interesting. It is very adventurous. This isn't you know, whatever, go to the Bahamas and stay at a luxury resort hotel.
Oh, no. This is, you know, one of the other things I put on the list was Sierra Leone, which is probably not on most people's list to visit. And a lot of these places had conflicts in the past. So you think of Sierra Leone, you may think of a civil war or something. But many of these places, that was, you know, maybe 10 or 20 years ago. Rwanda is a very good example. You know, they had the genocide, and that was almost 20 years ago now. But today it's a very peaceful place, and it's perfectly safe to go.
Well, we have lots of callers, so let's go to Aaron in Franklin first. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Where do you recommend?
Oh, I just got back from Boracay, Philippines.
The Philippines? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yes, the Philippines, Boracay. Okay. It's an island out there.
How did you like it?
It was awesome. I spent New Year's there. I flew out on the 24th through Chicago, stayed way over in Tokyo, and then a flight to Manila, and then Manila to Calibo, and then a bus ride to Kankapan, and then a boat ride to the island.
Oh, wow. You were traveling on every mode of transportation to get there.
Exactly.
Why did you want to go there?
I heard on TripAdvisor is the top beach in the world.
Wonderful. So how about the Philippines, Gary?
I was last in the Philippines, I think, in 2007. I didn't get to Boracay. I spent most of my time on Luzon and Palawan. Yeah, but I've heard that and Cebu are two of the top beach destinations in the Philippines. And a rather affordable destination, but Filipinos, some of my favorite people in the world. I meet them everywhere I go. And a pretty easy place to get along in that most of the people, you know, speak quite fluent English.
Thanks, Aaron. Welcome back. Jeremy in Vesper is with us now. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. I was just wondering if the guest could describe some of the clothing and luggage and such that he carries with him all over the world. It doesn't sound like he stays in one spot for too long.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I basically have one bag that I check on the planes. It's an Eagle Creek sort of a duffel bag on wheels might be the best way to describe it. I carry two pairs of pants plus a pair of shorts, probably about six T-shirts, another five pairs of underwear, some button-up shirts. But basically everything fits in my bag. I am not prepared for the kind of weather you guys are dealing with right now. I do have a cold weather bag of gear that I have. I have an assistant who lives in Texas. And so, for example, last year I went to the Yukon Quest sled dog race up in northern Canada, and I'll come and pick up that gear if I ever go to a cold weather destination. So I have that available, but it's not something I carry with, just because a parka is way too cumbersome to carry with to tropical places. And the other thing, and this has kind of become my signature, I pretty much wear sandals everywhere I go, unless it's so cold that I can't do it, simply because I don't have to carry around a lot of socks.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But you manage with just one bag.
Yeah, and then a smaller backpack for my electronics and photography gear.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you're coming to Wisconsin for your next visit sometime this summer. Before you head to the Northwest Territories in Canada, we'll talk a little bit more with Gary Arndt about that trip and welcome more of your questions and your travel list destinations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Gary Arndt is travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. And I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll check news and then we'll be back.
I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man.
So where in the world would you like to travel? Are you thinking of someplace warm as we freeze in Wisconsin right now? Do you have a dream trip on your travel list? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, January 3rd. Our guest this hour travels everywhere, and he blogs about it on his Everything Everywhere website. Last year, he stopped in 44 different countries and territories on 5 different continents. He's in Las Vegas right now. He will soon be headed to Africa. He's an Appleton native and will be visiting Wisconsin again sometime this summer before taking off for the Northwest Territories of Canada. And we thought that he would be the perfect guest to talk with us about compiling our travel lists for this year and beyond. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Gary Arndt is a travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. He is also the Travel Photographer of the Year, named so by the Society of American Travel Writers. Let's take a caller who's been waiting. Connie in Delafield is with us now. Hi, Connie.
Hello. I just wanted to call in. As I looked at the negative 12 degrees on my car, I sent a text to my husband that it's 86 right now in Goa, where we're going to be in 3 weeks. So we're pretty excited to be going to India and very excited to be getting out of the cold.
Oh, I'm so excited for you, Connie. Why India?
We're going to study with my yoga teacher and his yoga teacher, and then we're going to do some sightseeing up in the Aurangabad, Agra, and Jaipur. So taking a little tour of the mid to northern areas in India afterwards.
Sounds fantastic. And I think India's on your wanderers list, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, it is. One of the reasons it got put on is because I think it was just 2 or 3 months ago, India changed their visa regulations, so Americans can now get a visa on arrival.
Oh.
It used to be that you had to apply for a visa through the Indian embassy. Now you can just show up with your passport if you're an American and get admitted into India.
So have a good time, Connie. Thank you very much for letting us know about your plans. She's going to be studying some yoga in India, which is a little bit more exotic than where my husband and I are going, but I'm looking forward to it. Belize, his yoga.
Belize before?
No, I haven't. So have you?
Yeah, I was there 2 years ago, and one of my readers described Belize as what would happen if Jamaica collided into Guatemala. And I thought that was one of the best descriptions I've ever heard. It has a very much an Afro-Caribbean culture, especially on the coast. But as you go further inland, it becomes much more like what you would see in the rest of Central America.
So besides doing yoga, what should I do while I'm on this Belize retreat?
Maybe get out. I was on some of the islands, Key Cocker especially, one of the most laid-back places I've ever been. Maybe get a chance to do some snorkeling or some scuba diving. It has, I think, the second longest reef in the world after the Great Barrier Reef.
That's what I heard. And I can snorkel with sharks, but they don't bite you. They're some kind of harmless shark. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to Belize. I'm going to be staying in a cabana on the beach and steps from the ocean. So we'll see how that goes. Fran emails, do you have any tips for women traveling solo? Along with sights to see in Spain or Israel or Stockholm, do you recommend hostels? Are there travel apps you would recommend?
A couple of things there. First of all, I'm obviously not a single woman, So any advice I give on this subject, take with a bit of a grain of salt. But I know many women who do travel by themselves, And all the places she listed, Western Europe and Israel especially, I think are there should be no problem traveling to. I've spent quite a bit of time in Spain. I think that Barcelona and Madrid get a lot of the attention, but Valencia is a city I would not overlook, especially if you are going to go to between Barcelona and Madrid. To make a stop in Valencia, they now have a high-speed train that can go there, and I think the city of arts and sciences is one of the most interesting places in all of Europe, some fantastic architecture, plus they also have the Holy Grail. A lot of people don't realize.
Wonderful. Any other, she wondered if, she also mentioned Stockholm or Israel.
Haven't been to Stockholm. I've been to Western Sweden. In Israel, I actually had the pleasure of being in Israel during Holy Week back in 2009. And it was one of the most incredible experiences, being able to see the Easter celebrations and the Passover celebrations going on. If you get a chance, definitely try to get to Tel Aviv, go up the coast and visit places like Haifa, maybe take a day trip over to Bethlehem and some other places in Palestine. And if you haven't been to the Dead Sea, I think that the Israeli city of Ein Gedi, which is on the Dead Sea, I think floating in the Dead Sea is highly overrated, especially if you have any nicks or cuts on your body. It's
Ouch.
Painful. But being near the Dead Sea, because it's so far below sea level, oxygen levels are about 10% higher along the coast than they are normally, which means that it's the exact opposite of what you'd get at high altitudes. It's actually quite easy to breathe and rather nice place to live. And ultraviolet rays also tend to get a little bit more filtered out, so you have slight less risk of getting sunburned.
Any thoughts on hostels?
I'm a big fan of hostels. I normally don't stay in a dorm room. So normally with a hostel, you're going to be staying in a room with bunk beds with anywhere from, 3 to 15 other people. They tend to skew a little bit younger. You have kids that are backpacking, but I've also been to many hostels where I'm one of the younger people there, and I'm in my 40s. So basically I've met a lot of retired people, so I certainly wouldn't worry about hostels. And if you're trying to travel on a budget, especially in places like Europe, and Sweden can be quite expensive, they're probably one of your best bets.
Good. Well, we can talk a little bit more about traveling on a budget, but what about her question whether you recommend any travel apps?
I don't use a lot of apps. What I do recommend is that if you can get an unlocked phone, that's the biggest thing. And if you have a contract with a carrier like AT&T, odds are your phone is locked, which means you can't put in a SIM card from another provider. If you can get your phone unlocked or buy an unlocked phone, you can just go anywhere when you're in Europe and get a SIM card from a provider, and you're paying maybe $10 or $20, and you can get several gigabytes of data, which should last you the length of your trip, and you have complete internet access while you're there. So you don't necessarily need the apps. You can just go online and go to TripAdvisor or Expedia or any of the places you want to go, and it also eliminates the need for having to carry around a guidebook.
Any other general thoughts on if we'd love to travel, we want to travel the world, but we're not millionaires? What are some general budgeting ideas?
I usually stay in small lower end hotels, like a 2-star hotel. They're fine; they get the job done. You have hot water, clean bed, which is really all you need, because you don't spend a lot of your time in the room anyhow. When you go on package tours, you will often pay a little bit more, the trade-off being they take some of the work and worry away from you because they take care of your transportation and lodging, but you may pay a little bit more for it. The longer you stay in a place, paradoxically, the cheaper it can sometimes be, because the longer you pay for a getting a short-term apartment can often be much cheaper than getting hotel rooms for your entire stay.
We are talking with Gary Arndt. He is a travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. And we're talking about places to go in 2014. And we're wondering, where do you want to travel this year? Where in the world would you love to go sometime? Do you have a dream trip in mind? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let us know if you've recently returned from a really great trip, or what is the next great trip you want to take, or if you have any questions for Gary. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Right now, we're talking about traveling in 2014 and beyond, putting together our travel lists for this year. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Gary Arndt, who is the blogger at Everything Everywhere, and we're welcoming your questions for him and your trips that you would like to take. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You know, we have Mary in Douseman emails, "Good morning. I would love to visit Machu Picchu in the next year or two and hopefully combine it with a peacock bass fishing trip on the Amazon, which is on my husband's wish list. Can you advise the best time of year to travel here and if there are any recommended local travel companies to book with?"
Actually, Peru is one of the big holes I have in my travel resume. Yeah. I've never been to Machu Picchu, but I'm kind of biased, but you know, the company that sponsors me is actually the largest provider of tours on the Inca Trail, G Adventures.
G Adventures.
Yeah, they're a Canadian-based company, but they do tours in over 100 different countries, and they have been doing tours down in Peru for, you know, almost 20 years now, and they're pretty much experts on it. And they also have just started doing boat tours in the Amazon as well.
Well, I see on your wanderers list places to go, there are Nicaragua, Colombia, trying to see if there are other Central American or South American countries.
Yeah, Nicaragua is now the cheapest destination probably in the Western Hemisphere. And again, it has that stigma of a conflict in the past, which is the last time most people heard of Nicaragua in the news. And so I think that's why a lot of people may not think of it as a destination. But again, it's a peaceful place right now, and I know a lot of people that have been to Nicaragua recently and have really enjoyed the experience, and it's very, very affordable.
Yeah. You have Russia on this list as well. There's been some bombings, maybe terrorist attacks that are frightening people with the Winter Olympics coming up. What do you advise in terms of the danger of a particular location?
The thing you have to remember is that a place like Russia is really big. And when something happens in a place that we're not familiar with, we tend to lump everything together. Mm-hmm. It would be the equivalent of when they had the bombings in Boston during the Boston Marathon, someone calling you up in Wisconsin and saying, "I heard there was a bombing in the U.S. Are you okay?"
Right.
We wouldn't think to do that because we're familiar. We know that Boston is a long ways away and that what happened actually was in a particular, you know, few block radius or something. But when we hear something in another country, we tend to just lump everything together. I was in Bangkok in 2010 when they had these massive political protests going on, and I had people saying, "What's happening? What's happening?" And the truth was, even though I was in the same city as the protests, I had no idea it was happening because it was all happening in the government section that was just, you know, a couple blocks of the city. But when you hear about it in the news, you hear about things happening in Thailand. And so everything gets lumped together, even though nothing was happening in the vast majority of the country.
Yeah. That being said, do you check travel advisories or research an area just to kind of be aware of what sort of crime happens in a particular place?
A little bit. I think the thing is to be cognizant of what part of a country something is happening in. Are they targeting travelers? That's a big thing. So if it has absolutely nothing to do with Westerners or the United States, you may want to stay away from a place because you don't want to get caught in the middle of something, but you're not necessarily going to be targeted. And like what's happening in Russia, this has primarily been happening in the south in the area near the Caucasus, not necessarily a place like St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were on a cruise or something and one of your stops is St. Petersburg, I wouldn't worry about it. And by the same token, Vladivostok is, you know, an entire continent away, even though it happens to be in the same country, and I wouldn't worry about that.
Susan in Baraboo. Well, it looks like you went to Russia, Susan.
Yeah, it was about 6 years ago or mm-hmm. so. I got to travel with a group, and we landed in Moscow and then had a short flight from Moscow to Krasnodar, which is fairly close to Sochi. And then on the way home, when we got ready to take that same small junket at the airport, the baggage handlers suggested that we all have our baggage wrapped in brown paper. And the implication was that it would keep our luggage safe from theft when it got transferred in Moscow. Is that something that is still going on, or was that just a local practice? Have you experienced that at all?
Getting your bag wrapped in plastic is something that's done in most airports in the world. They don't let you do it in the United States so they can have access to your bags, but they almost use like a saran wrap to wrap your bags in many airports, and you'll find it in Europe and Asia. So it's a very common thing.
Why do they do that?
Just so your bag can't get accessed by security people or by baggage handlers.
Oh, I see. So like when we returned from Cancun, I'm not sure where it happened, my husband's Swiss Army watch was taken out of his bag.
Yeah, so usually what you'll see is a little machine, and it kind of just spins around and wrapping plastic around it, and you can get that done for maybe like $5 or something at the airport, and it's just to protect it from people who would be handling your bag from getting inside of it.
Thank you, Susan, for the call. Bob in Franklin is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hi. We're thinking about taking a trip to Finland, and we were wondering what we could do there, what we could see, and if the language barrier is a problem.
Do you know,
the language should not be a problem in any of the Nordic countries. Finland, Scandinavia, Norway, Denmark have very high rates of English fluency because no one speaks Finnish for the most part. And they tend to get American television shows, and they don't dub it over. They use subtitles. They're very good English speakers. You shouldn't have a problem. One of the things I always do is I visit UNESCO World Heritage Sites, which takes you a lot of cultural attractions, so you could research that. And Helsinki is also actually pretty close to Estonia, so you can actually get on a ferry from Helsinki if you wanted to, and even do a side trip to Estonia and some of the other Baltic countries if you're in the region as well.
Oh, have fun, Bob. We had a couple of Facebook posts and emails, people wanting to go to Norway. They hadn't. It seems to be a popular destination.
Norway is one of the most expensive countries you can visit right now.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I just read a report that a lot of, just like how the United States will often get workers coming in from Mexico, Norway's Mexico is Sweden.
Wow.
To give you an idea of how expensive it can be. They have their own currency. They've stayed out of the euro, and they make a lot of money from oil revenue, and that's really inflated the value of their currency.
In fact, Adam on Facebook says, was in Norway a few years ago, and aside from how expensive everything was, the scenery and the people made up for it. So, wow, I didn't realize it.
I was just in Australia for the month of December, and like Norway and Switzerland, it's a very expensive place, but there's a lot there that's really worth seeing.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go next to Bonnie in Shell Lake. Hello, Bonnie.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you that this fall I went on a G-tour to Nepal. I did something called the Annapurna Circuit Trail, a trekking trail. It was absolutely amazing. You don't stay in anywhere fancy. You meet local people. You eat what they eat. It is absolutely breathtaking. They tell you to wear a Superman cape. Put your Superman cape on. It is a serious thing. You need to do that. It is a very, it's not an easy trek, but you make a life experience when you go.
Why did you have to wear the Superman cape?
You wear the Superman cape because you need to be ready to do anything. The first day out trekking is 10 miles. Out of the 14 tallest mountains in the world, Nepal has 11. So you are up and down. It's not for couch potatoes. You need to really work. I did an Ironman training session all this summer, and that's how I got over that mountain. It is just amazing.
Well, way to go, Bonnie. Thanks very much for telling that story. Quickly, Gary, any comment on Nepal?
Annapurna Circuit is very high on my list of places, things I want to do. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that have been to Nepal. Everyone has very positive things to say about it.
Yeah. Jan in Oak Creek emails, where can someone in Wisconsin go for $2,000? So just wants a recommendation. And maybe we should say someplace warm since it's so cold out right now.
When you're on a budget, your biggest factor, of course, is going to be your flights. And if you're looking someplace warm, I think your best bet is probably going to be somewhere in Mexico. Possibly the Caribbean as well, but maybe look for a little beyond Mexico, maybe someplace in the northern part of South America. Colombia is becoming a very hot destination right now, and you know, one place that I almost visited at the end of my Caribbean trip this year, but I didn't get to, is Guyana. Hmm. A lot of people don't think of Guyana, but it's actually the only English-speaking country in South America, and it's still extremely wild. The interior of it, which is the Amazon rainforest, it's no roads going to Brazil, for example. So there's still a lot of wild things to do there.
Well, we just have a minute or so to go. I know you're headed to Africa for the next few months anyway. And then sometime this summer, a stop back in Wisconsin before heading to the Northwest Territories of Canada. Is that right?
Yeah. One of my goals is to visit all the national parks in the United States and Canada. And so I'll be starting in Wisconsin and then driving all the way up to Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories.
Oh, you're going to stop at the Apostle Islands National Seashore on the way?
I very well might do that, and I think also Isle Royale in Lake Superior.
Sounds great. Well, Gary, thank you so much for joining us. A happy, happy New Year to you, and safe travels.
Thank you very much.
Gary Arndt, travel blogger at Everything Everywhere. Also named Travel Photographer of the Year by the Society of American Travel Writers. You can see his photographs, the travel destinations that we've been talking about, and his blog on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake.